Four, please.
Oh, what a shot.
Oh,
yes.
Right. Have you seen anything like that?
Four, please. Now drive it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Four Please, Now Driving, the official Masters podcast. I'm your host, Marty Smith from ESPN. Saturday is moving day at the Masters, and names moved all over the leaderboard in extremely difficult course conditions and pin placements that ultimately saw 2022 Masters champion and overwhelming tournament favorite Scottie Scheffler emerge atop the board.
Now up ahead on the green, Scottie Scheffler. Can make some noise here. This is for eagle. You want noise? You got it!
Don't often see that kind of emotion out of Scottie Scheffler.
No, the rare triple fist pump.
After a double bogey at 10 and another bogey at 11, Scheffler eagled 13 with a beautiful putt. His celebratory fist pump afterward revealed emotion rarely seen from the ultra-composed Texan, and the throngs of patrons around him roared their appreciation. Scheffler then birdied the 15th and the 18th to move into the solo lead entering Sunday's final round. He said the effort on 13 and 15 was critical.
Yeah, I would say extremely important. You know, that's why I think he saw a bit of emotion there for me on 13, because that was, you know, an important time in the tournament. And it was nice kind of turning my Saturday around. And I felt like I didn't take advantage of the two par fives on the front, so it was nice to get a few shots back there on the back nine.
2 years ago, when Scheffler was in this exact position, he said he slept really well. But Sunday morning was an emotional roller coaster as he and his wife Meredith realized their lives would never be the same again.
Going into Sunday, I think Meredith and I were just a little bit emotional about what was going on at the time, because our lives were changing at a very rapid pace. And I think now we've settled in to a little bit more of where our lives are at. And right now, you know, the most exciting thing for us is not winning the Masters. It's, you know, a baby coming here pretty soon. And so things are a lot different now, and I feel like we've both matured. But I think a lot of that emotion from Sunday morning a few years ago was more about just how quickly our life was changing. And it was more of a, are we ready for this type of thing? And, yeah, that's when Mary gave me that nice speech, and here we are.
He's got the Open. He's got the PGA. Now he could get a green jacket.
Just behind Scheffler is two-time major champion Colin Morikawa, who entered Saturday at 3-under par, then opened the third round with a barrage of birdies on the first three holes.
What a start. He's lacked form of recent. Good week to change.
Ultimately, Morikawa posted a 3-under par 69 to climb into solo second at 6-under par for the tournament. He has no fear visioning himself wearing the green jacket.
You know, it always crosses your mind. If it doesn't cross your mind, I don't know what the hell your mind's thinking about. We're here on a Saturday night and I'm one back, so I'm very excited about tomorrow.
Another player squarely in the hunt is Max Homa. His steady play leaves him in solo third, two shots behind Scheffler. On Saturday, he carded 17 pars and a bogey. His last birdie in the 88th Masters was the fourth hole of the second round. And like Morikawa, he'll enter Sunday with high expectations for a run at his first Masters title.
I played today with a ton of gratitude and appreciation for the opportunity to do this. I'm really glad I get to do it again tomorrow, and I'm going to remind myself I'm a dog, and I'm ready for this moment.
It's been a struggle. Hang on.
I'd shake my head too, Bryson.
Vern, it's like he's completely lost his feel.
While those two made a run to the top of the leaderboard, Bryson DeChambeau had an up-and-down day that ended at 3-over par, and he stands fifth overall entering Sunday. DeChambeau ended his round with a thrilling hole-out birdie at the 18th.
That might help. That might help! Oh, can you believe it?
Tiger Woods had a miserable day. His 10-over 82 is the worst major championship round of his career in 335 total rounds. Afterward, he was tired and frustrated, but determined to show up Sunday and grind.
I didn't have a very good warm-up session, and I kept it going all day today. Just hit the ball in all the places that I know I shouldn't hit it. and easy makeable putts. I missed a lot of them.
Tournament leaders Scottie Scheffler and Colin Morikawa will tee off Sunday at 2:35 Eastern, while Max Homa and Ludvig Åberg tee off at 2:25. Bryson DeChambeau and Xander Schauffele at 2:15. Pleasure to be joined by BBC golf commentator Andrew Cotter. You've been here all week. You've seen how this tournament has unfolded. So the third round was interesting. The course was brutal on these guys.
I spoke to a few of the players afterwards, and every one of them was saying this is as difficult as they have seen it. You know, I'm talking about sort of 15-year veterans of playing in the Masters. I loved it. Maybe I'm slightly masochistic. I mean, I think I am. But what you want is the perfect Masters setup is for it to be difficult, 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 boom, then release them on the Sunday. And you get the... I think you still had enough of the roars, though, the famous roars, the birdies and the eagles, you know, Scheffler with his eagle and, you know, Bryson DeChambeau finishing like that. So you had enough of the noise around the course. I was here in 2007 when it was cold and it's hard and Zach Johnson won, but then it felt then because of the conditions and it felt a bit more sort of US Open-y, whereas I think what they want of the Masters is tough, challenging, but those exciting moments as well, and we had enough of those.
I think we're going to see more of that, at least with the greens on Sunday. They're going to be really crisp, but these guys enjoy the challenge. It's the ultimate achievement in the sport.
Well, some of them do. And those who do, those who embrace it, do well. Others don't. I was speaking to Tyrrell Hatton, and Tyrrell Hatton gets, you know, he gets frustrated on the course. He shows his frustration a bit more than it's a release for him. Boom, he's gone. He's said whatever he said on the fairways, and it's gone. But he has never really enjoyed the challenge of playing Augusta because he thinks it's borderline unfair. But it can't be unfair. The world number one's at the top. The cream always rises to the top. So those who understand that the challenge is going to really annoy you, really perplex you, just cause you all sorts of consternation, those who embrace that do well at Augusta.
Scottie Scheffler, you mentioned a moment ago bogeys 10, or double bogeys 10, bogeys 11, and then eagles 13, birdies 15, birdies 18. What a tremendous rally in a moment at 10 and 11 that would have derailed a lesser
and that's
emotional
that's
type
why
of athlete.
He, you know, he's not quite got the sort of same sort of steely hard mentality as Tiger Woods, but he's got the same sort of cool, calm equilibrium, and that again is what you need around Augusta. And Scottie Scheffler, I mean, strikes me as just one of the nicest guys out there, but he has the mentality, and he's a man of, you know, we don't talk about it in sports too much because it's almost a sort of taboo subject, but a man of that faith. Well, if you're sort of handing it on to a higher power, that is a great way to play golf, because you kind of, what will be, will be. And so if good things happen, great. If bad things happen, well, that's fine. It's going to play out the way it's supposed to be. So that is a perfect mentality for golf. And Scheffler, with that mentality and with that skill, then that's why he's the man to beat. However, there were a couple of signs of fragility in his putting again today. So that will give succor and a bit of support to the other players who are chasing. And there's some big names close at hand.
Yeah, I mean, Colin Morikawa, a shot back. Max Homa, two shots back, both of whom said after their rounds, they're fearless to vision themselves wearing the green jacket.
That's it. Morikawa is one who fascinates me. And I think he would not spook Scheffler, because we've just talked about how calm he is and in all sorts of situations, but he would be aware that Morikawa, at his best, you know, 2020-2021 Colin Morikawa, is one of the big beasts, and he is one who could certainly get it done. And when he's coming down the stretch in a major on a Sunday, he would not be afraid of it. Now, he's got rid of his back issues. He's changed his coach to an English guy, actually, Mark Blackburn, who coaches Max Homa as well. So Mark Blackburn's doing all right this week. But Morikawa seems to be very close to that player of 2020-2021 again. And that is something for other players to take note of.
He said after his round today that he's been chasing it since 2022.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, Morikawa, I think with the back issue as well, you know, what you think you've recovered from a back problem is, for a golfer, is bad. And it's going to affect your confidence. And even when you've recovered from it, I think you're always aware of it, and so your swing might be compromised slightly. But again, he seems to be, just looking at the way he's swinging and the way he's putting, which was always a bit like Scheffler, a little bit of an Achilles heel for Morikawa, with the way he's putting at the moment, I think he could present a great challenge. But that second last group out, though, of Homer and Ludwig Åberg, I mean, Åberg, not just his first Masters, his first major, which is extraordinary, but perhaps not when you consider his talent. But I think the thing that stands him in good stead, and perhaps Max Homer as well, is the Ryder Cup, because Homer was fantastic in Rome. Ludwig Åberg was great in a European victory. And playing in the Ryder Cup where the pressure is extraordinary, that will prepare you for... I mean, it's different. It's a different kind of thing, because you're playing for yourself and the Masters is special. But it will prepare you a little bit for it.
Åberg was interesting to watch on Saturday because so many times, regardless of the outcome of the shot, he was smiling. Yeah. It was like he was almost able to live in the moment, which is so hard to do with this level of pressure.
Well, I mean, we've talked about players like Tyrrell Hatton or someone like Rory McIlroy. You can see he wants it so much. And it's a very easy thing to say, for us to say, I wish he'd just enjoy it, enjoy his talent and embrace it all. But of course, you know, he's living his career and the frustration of not winning a major for so long. But someone like Åberg at the start of his career, where all this is just a joyous adventure, he's enjoying being young, being out there playing great golf and playing in the Masters for the first time. So what's not to enjoy? However, when you get to the back nine on the Sunday, all that enjoyment in the world can't help but... you still think about where you are and what you might do.
That's when the tournament starts, my friend. Bryson DeChambeau, you talk about adventures. He was up and down and all around today, ultimately finishes with that phenomenal shot at the last, and certainly still in contention.
And I'm delighted that he is in contention, because he brings something different to golf. And this is what we talk about the majors and being here at the Masters now, is all the different players who have gone off to different tours, and the sort of the split in golf is, for 1 week at least, entirely healed. So you have someone like Bryson DeChambeau, who's fascinating, and I find him quite frustrating at times, but he's nothing if not interesting. I find him frustrating because he speaks sometimes as if he has solved golf. And then, yeah, that's why him playing at Augusta is brilliant, because you can't...
You mean Augusta's not a par 67?
Well, exactly. I don't know. I love the fact that he is trying to reduce golf to a science, and as if he fully understands it, and he's the only one who understands it. There are many, many different ways and different swings to play golf. You can see that still in the game. But Bryson DeChambeau is... I loved it when he held his second shot at the last. And again, talking about those roars. But having him in the mix... Now, he is someone who could get going... But I think, and my memory in golf is long, I still remember Bobby Clampett, who was the golfing machine back at Troon, my hometown, 1982, and we'll be back there later this summer. I remember him when the machine broke down, he couldn't get it back on the wheels. And DeChambeau, I think, is a little bit like that sometimes. Augusta is a mystery that can't be solved by science. And he's not done it. He's had good rounds in the past at Augusta, not quite backed them up. Well, he's done it, actually. He's backed it up this year for the first time. So I think it'll be fascinating to see how he goes in the final round.
You use the word breakdown. Tiger Woods had a breakdown on Saturday at the 88th Masters, 10 over. It's his worst major championship round ever in 335 career rounds.
I know, and I was there at Muirfield in 2002 when he had his previous worst round, and that was because it was practically snowing and everybody was suffering. So here was something very different in perfect conditions, because he says he needs the warmth now for his body. It was a beautiful day, so there was no real excuse. I think the sad fact is that Tiger Woods is not a four-round golfer anymore. His body cannot quite cope with it. I'm talking about four rounds at Augusta as well, where it's up and down, and that does take its toll. There's no doubt about it. But he's... not a young man anymore. He's not even a sort of 47, 48-year-old man anymore. Unfortunately, for what his body has gone through, his body's 10, 15 years older than that. And you saw that. I loved watching him in the first two rounds, because his craft in working his way around this place was just something to behold. And making the cut and taking that consecutive cut record from Player and Freddie Couples, that's a great achievement. Well, another achievement to add to his long list of achievements. I just wish he could still contend. And I think he still deep down believes he can, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure he can anymore. Nice touch that he'll be playing with Neil Shipley, and the only amateur to make the cut in the final round. And I'm sure he will play that final round. But it's just, there's a sort of joy and then a sadness watching Tiger Woods, because the joy of our memories of watching him at his very best, and then the sadness of the realization of the passing of the years and the injuries that have taken their toll. But he still draws them in like nobody else.
All right, I'll let you run after you tell me what you expect on Sunday and tell me who you believe is going to win the 88th Masters.
Okay, so I expect an early bolter. Look maybe to the McIlroy, Joaquin Niemann group. Someone in that group will shoot a 65 and people will get excited for a while. There will be a couple of other bolters as well that will just give the later starters pause for thought. They'll hear those roars as they're warming up or as they're walking to the first tee or as they're playing the front nine, and they'll know that people are coming for them. But I can't see it being a winner from outside those last two groups. I hope that somebody of Homa and Ober makes a bit of a move as well. And I think them playing together, that's quite comfortable for them, because you wouldn't be intimidated. Neither of the would be intimidated by the other. But Scheffler, you can't look past Scotty Scheffler, really.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for your insight, Andrew.
Great to talk to you.
Professional athletes of all types admire the work ethic and competitive stamina that define Tiger Woods' legacy. One of those is Kirk Cousins. Cousins is a 12-year NFL veteran who this season leaves Minnesota and moves to Georgia to quarterback the Atlanta Falcons. But he will find his way back to the Gopher State often to visit his golf course. Yes, he owns a golf course. Kirk Cousins is the newly minted quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. We'll get to that in a minute. First, I know you're a Masters veteran. How do you describe the Masters experience?
It's difficult to articulate, Marty, but it's special. It's one of one. It's kind of a rite of passage. Being from the Midwest, when it came on every spring, it was the sign that winter was behind us up north and golf season was upon us. Spring was coming. So it's always been a special thing for me and my family. My wife's from Atlanta, so being able to get down here every now and then, get over here to the tournament, has been a lot of fun for us.
There are so many rich traditions here at Augusta National. Which one's the most meaningful to you?
I mean, I love it all. I love referring to the fans as patrons. I love the pricing on all the food being so affordable for people. I love the caddy jumpsuits. I love just the respect that the pros give it. The quality, the excellence. I mean, you just don't see a pine cone anywhere. There's pine trees, you don't see pine cones because they keep it so excellent. So, I just love it all and love coming every year.
No pine cones, not a squirrel anywhere, which is the great mystery here. In your farewell address to the fans in Minnesota, it sure did look like Amen Corner was hanging behind you on the wall.
That's exactly right.
What's the significance of that photo?
Yeah, that was a painting that my wife's uncle had, and he was moving out of his house, and he texted me because he knew I loved Augusta, and he said, you know, would you want to have this? I said, absolutely. And so when we moved into our house here in Atlanta, we had a little room that we, you know, kind of painted the walls forest green, you know, has that grass color, and we had that painting hung up, and we have a bunch of other photos around the room from some of my golf trips. And so that kind of became my golf room, if you will, my office, and it's a good place to be. It's fun to have that on the wall.
Troy Aikman told me a couple days ago that quarterbacks play a lot of golf.
Yes.
What type of release is that for you guys with all that you have to manage in the position you play and the spotlight that comes with it?
That's exactly what it is. It's really an escape for me. People ask me, hey, do you love to compete on the golf course? And I say, when I retire, yes, that will be my competitive outlet. But while I'm still playing, honestly, it's the opposite. I just want to have a good four-hour walk with three other people, you know, build relationships and get to do something athletic while we do it. But for me, it is an escape from the rest of life. And that's why I love going to a place like this where it truly feels like you've left the normal world and entered a different space. And any golf course that can create that, I think, is doing it right.
I feel like there are so many similarities between the quarterback position specifically and what these guys do on a stage like the Masters, and on many levels. What similarities do you see?
Well, I think we understand that certainly the physical has to be there. We got to be great at what we're doing physically. But honestly, to truly win and to have great success over a long period of time, it really isn't the physical. It's the mental. It's the emotional. It's a maturity you have to handle adversity, to handle rough patches, and to keep going and believe that tough times don't last, but tough people do. And so I do think the game between the ears as a golfer and as a quarterback is as big a game as any you'll have to fight.
You have any buddies out here?
We do. We roll pretty deep today, so I've got some high school friends and My brother and my brother-in-law, we all rolled over from Atlanta, and we're making a weekend of it and having a great time.
How about the players? You got some friends playing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, our kids go to preschool or have gone to preschool in past years with Danny Willett's kids. And so I do tend to root for the American guys, but with the Willetts, that's my exception. So haven't crossed paths with too many other pro players, but certainly have a lot of respect for so many of them. And a guy like Scottie Scheffler, you know, just seems like a tremendous person. And so I enjoy following so many of them.
He's his amazing perspective and example belie his youth.
Yeah, right.
He's just has such tremendous perspective on positioning his sport and his career in the right places. I admire that so much. What inspired you to purchase a golf course?
Great question. I think my wife still wonders that sometimes, but we joined a course about an hour south of my hometown, and I would go down there, and it was the favorite thing I did all summer. We'd drive an hour, I'd play, walk the course, drive back home, and I'd be gone for several hours, and I'd say to my wife, that was the best thing I'll do all summer, but I can't rationalize the hour drive there, the hour drive back. And I said, we either got to sell our house and move so I can be closer to something like that, or we could bring it to us. And so the latter was an expensive notion, but we're exploring it, and we ended up buying the course in my home area that's about 5 minutes from my house. And over time, I have some dreams to be able to kind of spruce it up, but first step was to buy the course. Now we're kind of sitting on it, and we'll see where it goes from here.
I wonder if you'll take any of the Masters rules with you. Maybe you could invoke a no phone policy,
Marty,
at Kirk Cousins.
You are tracking with me, Marty. We're going to have all kinds of. We'll say there really are no rules, but if you break one, you'll know. You know, so certainly I want it to be an escape, just like we talked about. I want it to have that effect where when you walk into the course, you feel like you left the normal world and you're in a different place for 2 to 4 hours. So it'll be a walking deal. I want it to have, it'll be really well kept and just be a very classy place that people can really enjoy and bring their friends and family and make great memories. That's really what I want, is to be able to walk the fairway with my boys for the rest of our lives and just spend time together.
I say every year that I've had the blessing of coming here, going on a decade now, that Augusta National and specifically Amen Corner is the epicenter of college football. That's what everybody wants to talk to me about down there, is their respective college football team. But now that you're playing in the South, the Deep South, what's the response as you're walking the grounds?
I said to my wife yesterday, I said, you know, we've walked this course other years, but it's different now being a member of the Falcons. And my wife went to Georgia, and so I'm kind of married into the UGA crowd. You know, my in-laws' basement is just filled with, you know, silver and red and UGA. And so I know that world well now. Our boys will be raised to say go Dogs. And so it's been fun walking the fairways, meeting people who went to UGA or who are big Falcons fans, and they're really pulling for us. And you really experience Southern hospitality, because just the welcoming of, you know, hey, Kirk, Julie, welcome to Atlanta. It means so much to us.
A couple more, I'll let you run and enjoy your day.
Thank you.
Let's just talk ball for a minute.
Yeah, let's do it.
After coming back from the injury and going here to Atlanta with so much talent around you on that offense, how will you define success as you look to the 24 season?
Well, I think certainly there are expectations. I think in our division, just about every team in the division would say now they think they can or will win the division. So it's wide open, but you know, we think we have some good pieces, but we don't have continuity right now. You know, I'm new. A lot of our coaches are new. So we've got to make up for lost time, build relationships, and that's really what, you know, in addition to on-field success, which is very important, that's really how I define success when I retire, is to look back and have teammates I played with say, that guy was the real deal. You know, he really walked the walk, not just talked the talk. And so that's how I define success for myself as a person. And then we certainly want to, you know, rise up and bring Atlanta back to the days that they had, you know, in deep playoff runs and ultimately win a Super Bowl.
All right. Who do you think will win the 88th Masters, and who do you want to win the 88th Masters? Those could be two different answers.
Yeah. You know, I think obviously DeChambeau had a great Thursday, and, you know, could see him being able to do it. Who I want to win, you know, will it, obviously, for the sake of our preschool, carrying the flag for the preschool, go Danny. Scheffler, you know, love him as a guy, but honestly, all these guys out here, I mean, we saw JT yesterday at the 7th tee, and you know, Spieth's great, and there's so many guys, you know, love LT Gray, you know, he's the best. So it's just fun to be here and cheering them all on.
How many people yell you like that when you walk by here?
Haven't gotten it too much lately.
Shocks me. But, that shocks me.
It is, you know, airports, walking around, certainly at stadiums. That's usually what I get. And I never thought it would follow me as long as it has. But I would think if it's still sticking with me like it has, it's probably not going anywhere.
I thought it was awesome. So I really look forward to, thank Thanks, you, brother. Really yeah, appreciate your time and perspective and your spirit. Absolutely. And I can't wait to play You Like That Lynx in Minnesota.
We'd love to have you.
Thank you, brother. Now let's move from an American football star to a Mexican football icon. Miguel Layún played in a pair of World Cups for his native Mexico. And when I met him here at Augusta National, he tried but failed to find words he believed could properly articulate his experience and his emotion just to be at the Masters. Wonderful to be joined by Mexican soccer star Miguel Layún. How'd I do with the name?
Oh, you did awesome. I swear. The best one.
I know you've probably not heard your name stated in Appalachian before. How's your Masters experience? I know this is the first time you've been here.
Yeah, this is my first time here, and I can tell you for sure it's been unbelievable. I mean, we all can see what happens, you know, through television, but you will never imagine what's going on really in the course. I mean, all the things that are around the Masters, it's crazy. Just, I have no words to describe what I'm feeling since the first day I arrived here.
Which part of the course has really taken you aback the most?
Obviously, I mean, the aiming corner can't be the name. It's crazy how much feelings you can have when you arrive here and when you go to the aiming corner, because you know you see that spot every single Sunday when the Masters it's playing at the moment. So being there, watching the players, you know, into that corner, it's amazing.
You're somebody who played in a couple World Cups, so you know the biggest stage.
Yeah.
You know all that comes with the biggest stage. That's extra media.
Yeah.
It's more friends that you didn't know you had.
Absolutely.
It's all family wanting to be there and see you perform, all of those things, maybe more sponsor engagements. How do you compartmentalize when you're on the biggest stage to make sure that you're focused on the job at hand like these guys are this week?
I mean, that's the most difficult thing when you are this kind of athlete. When you have these competitions, everybody's around you for some reason. I mean, you said before, and that's right. You have friends that you never met asking for tickets. You have people that want to, you know, be around you for some reason that you don't even know. The most important is the people around you that are, I mean, the real close one. Your parents, your wife or your girlfriend, whatever you have. That's the person that is most important at that moment, because they helped you, you know, to control everything else. Obviously, a good management. And I mean, when you have a good manager, he will look at you and say to the sponsors, listen, this week is not the week. I know you have your own recommendations about what we have to do during the tournament, but it's more important for everyone if you develop and you perform well, that if you are thinking about something else that is not, you know, hitting the ball well and having a good score. So basically, I will tell you for sure that the people closest to you is the most important thing. Keep it circle, it's really small, really tight, so you can be shoulder to shoulder to everyone who will help you to improve better and perform better during the tournament.
How's your golf game?
I'm a 7 handicap, so I can play.
Athlete, my friends. Okay, so if you love the game that much and obviously play it quite a bit if you're a 7, what kind of release is it from the daily grind of your life to be able to go out on the golf course and focus on that?
I said a couple of times when I was a professional soccer player, it was crazy when I felt pressure, when I felt overwhelmed. When I had bad feelings about something, I just wanted to go to the golf course. It's, you know, it's the right spot for being when you are not in the mood, because, you know, it's all nature around you. It's just you against you. You can think whatever you want and you just chill a bit. Obviously not sometimes when you have a bad score. it's not going to be a good day. But I mean, a bad day in golf, it's a good day in life. So I'm telling you this for real. Anytime I had a chance to play golf, and anytime I have a chance till now, is the right place for me to release everything that is not going well in my life.
You are obviously an extremely fit person. Have you gone to the concession stand and sampled the pimento cheese sandwich yet?
Oh, I mean, I tried every single sandwich. For being honest, I couldn't wait. The pimento was really good. We tried the ham and cheese. It's nice also. The other one, it's a pork belly. No, pork belly is not, right?
Pulled pork.
Pulled pork, yeah. Pulled pork is so.
That's a southern delicacy,
twice
Miguel.
Twice yesterday, I swear. And obviously, one beer, you know, to have a, why not, enjoy a bit of the course. But it's important to understand that you have moments to, you know, take care about your wealth of everything, you know, mind, body, everything, but you also have to enjoy the life. What is about coming to the, you know, Masters and not eating a pimento sandwich? What is that about?
Well, I'll tell you, my question is, what is that about that you only had one beer? We got to do a better job.
Yeah, that's right. If you come with me, maybe I can drink a bit more, but you know, we have to be just, I have to take care about my compostor.
So what you're telling me is you and I are going to meet at Amen Corner tomorrow afternoon and have a cold beer.
Why tomorrow? Why not today?
Okay fine. In 5 minutes when we finish this interview,
perfect.
We'll go straight to Amen Corner. I love it. All right, I'll let you run on this. First of all, do you have any friends by chance who are playing? Do you know any of the guys?
Okay. Obviously, Santiago, who is Mexican, but is not a closest friend. But no. Actual friend's not here.
He's a great young man, by the way. He's had a tough tournament so far, but he's a great young man. All right, there's who you think is going to win, and then there's who you want to win. What are those answers?
Oh, I think DeChambeau is gonna win.
Okay, I got one more.
Okay.
As an elite athlete, all right, as someone who has seen what it takes to be that,
yeah.
When you look at Tiger Woods' body of work,
yeah.
Especially coming back from all those debilitating injuries and returning to the elite, how do you describe that career?
Nah, he's the GOAT, for being honest. My perspective, it's just Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods are just something above every other athlete in the world. They have a mindset that nobody else have. I mean, Kobe Bryant, when he was alive, obviously he was something else too. But besides that, I don't know anybody that can do whatever Tiger been doing his whole career. He been such an amazing moments in the past. He go through everything, you know, the back, the ankle, every single injury. It wasn't just a simple injury. It was a very bad injury. And he came back from that. And one more, he's putting, you know, the effort and the mindset right to perform as he's doing right now. He's going to be tomorrow playing again. And I don't know, he have a record right now. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
So that's not every single day you can watch that just a few times in your life. So yeah, it's crazy.
I completely agree with you on Tiger and Michael. You're 100% right. They are just different. And thank you. So grateful for your perspective, brother. So nice to meet you. And I love your spirit.
Thank you.
You can watch every shot from every round on Masters.com and the Masters app. I'll be joined here on Four Please Now Driving on Sunday evening by former PGA Tour player Smiley Kaufman to break down how the 88th Masters was won. We're so grateful that you chose to spend your time with us here on Four Please Now Driving. I'm your host, Marty Smith, and I cannot wait to see who emerges after 4 days of immense pressure and difficult conditions to earn the honor of departing Augusta National Sunday night wearing green.